Congressman Comer, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come up to our station and speak with us.
It's my pleasure. I always love coming to the campus at Murray State.
Let's begin with sort of an overview. You've had some time to get acclimated into your seat, having won the special election, filling Ed Whitfield's vacancy. What has the transition been like for you moving to Washington? What is something you maybe didn't know until you got there?
Well, the process is very different than what I'm used to. I was a six-term Kentucky State Representative in Frankfort. I can tell you with confidence after being in Washington for 3 months, the procedures are very different. The terminology is very different in Washington. The personalities are very different. There are 100 representatives in Frankfort. There are 435 in Washington. So it's been a learning experience, just learning the differences between federal and the state. And obviously, the issues are different. So that's been kind of a surprise, but I think I've learned it and I'm enjoying it.
During your campaign, you had said that President Trump was tough to compete against in the presidential run. You shared some similarities with him in terms of being a Washington outsider. Now that you're both inside, do you find those commonalities still exist? What are your thoughts on his first few weeks in office?
There's never a dull moment with President Trump, and he is still dominating the conversation, dominating the press. I think he's put together, for the most part, one of the best slates of cabinet secretaries I've ever seen. And I feel like in Washington that everyone should come together and give the president a chance. I don't agree with everything President Trump says. I sometimes wish he wouldn't tweet some of the things that he tweets. But at the end of the day, he won my district by the biggest margin of any presidential candidate in the history of Kentucky. And he deserves a chance to get his cabinet confirmed. And he deserves a chance to let his agenda be debated and get an up or down vote. If you disagree with a position, then you should be able to vote against it. But at least vote on it. Don't filibuster it. Don't delay his cabinet picks. I mean, every day that's wasted filibustering is a day that nothing's accomplished in Washington. And the voters, whether they supported Trump or Clinton, are frustrated and want some things to get done. And the issues deserve to be debated. And hopefully that'll happen and both parties will come together.
Yeah, this is no doubt a very politically intense time. In your experience, is that tension reverberating in the House? Are members of Congress, specifically the GOP, coalescing around Trump, or is there any fissuring?
There's a little uneasiness on some of his positions, for example, trade. But I believe that we all realize that he's just started. He won an election that no one thought he would win. It's an election like no one's ever seen. And there's certainly a majority of people in America that feel like we should give him a chance. And that's what my position is, even though I occasionally disagree with a statement that he makes and occasionally disagree with one of or two of his hires. At the end of the day, I want to give him a chance to lead, and I think he's going to be a strong leader. I believe he does want to put America first. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, we can agree that we need to create jobs in this country. We need to ensure that American workers are on a level playing field with workers in other countries. We need to renegotiate some of our trade agreements. So let's put our differences aside and try to come together on the issues where we can come together, which is putting America first and trying to rebuild our military and trying to do those things. So I'm hopeful that will get done in the next few weeks.
What are some of the things that you find different than Trump? What are some examples?
Well, I'm a free trade guy. I will agree with him that I believe he could negotiate a better deal than President Obama. But I don't want to create trade wars. You look at agriculture, which is my background. Agriculture is the biggest industry in the 1st Congressional District. We export far more than we import. I understand that. If you start putting tariffs on goods that come into the United States, the countries are going to turn around and put tariffs on goods that come from the United States. And that could wreak havoc on the commodities market, for example. Every factory that I've toured in Western Kentucky exports a certain percentage of their product, some more than others, but the exporting is a huge factor. So we have a need to have free and fair trade. Now, I do think that some of our trade agreements put American workers at a disadvantage. So hopefully we can renegotiate that. But I don't want to create trade war. And I believe that we need to tread lightly when we're having conversations and public debates with leaders of other countries. So that's an area that I have a huge concern for, because I don't want to create trade wars and put American workers out of business, because there are a lot of jobs that are here in the 1st Congressional District as a result of foreign trade and export markets that we have.
Just sort of on that note, Murray State hosted a Kentucky Soybean Industry Day recently, and a lot of the discussion centered around this trade uncertainty that you're talking about, particularly the decision to leave the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So given your role as the former Ag Commissioner, do you support withdrawing from TPP, renegotiating NAFTA? How would you address the concerns of Kentucky farmers?
Well, Kentucky farmers are concerned. I can tell you that with 100% confidence, as they should be. What President Trump has indicated is, instead of having a TPP with all these countries, he wants to have direct negotiations with each country individually. And I'm open to that, as long as we can have trade agreements. We need to open as many new markets as we can. And the purpose for TPP, whether you like it or not, was to try to ensure that China didn't dominate that Asian Pacific market there. Or the Pacific market. So we need to make sure that if we're going to replace TPP, we need to get on it now. And that's why his cabinet needs to get confirmed, and they need to get started so that the Trump administration can negotiate directly with Taiwan or negotiate directly with the countries in the Pacific to make sure that China doesn't beat us to the punch.
As a former Ag Commissioner, you were a proponent of getting Kentucky's hemp industry underway. Is that something you're going to advocate for? Are you going to advocate for hemp legislation in Washington?
I am. In fact, stay tuned for my first bill. We're still working on it, and I was blessed to be the leader when Senate Bill 50 passed in Kentucky in 2013 to create a pilot project, a regulatory framework for a pilot project in Kentucky. Then I worked with Senator McConnell to get it on the Farm Bill to where we could commercialize after we had a year of pilot projects around, and Murray State was a key player in that. Well, now we've proven the crop is economically viable. We've proven it's not a drug. The next step is to begin to deregulate. And that's what I'm going to do with legislation that I'll be filing in the next week. We're going to have a great bipartisan coalition. There have been a lot of supporters for industrial hemp in Washington over the years, and it keeps growing as more states have legalized it. I think when I got to Congress, most people knew that I was the guy that came to Congress advocating for industrial hemp in the first place. So for better or worse, I'm tied to that issue, and I think I have a lot of credibility in Washington on that issue. And we had a huge success story here in Kentucky. So that's going to be a piece of legislation that I'm going to champion. And I think it'll be the next and final phase to take hemp to the next level now.
In your expertise, why has there been hesitation to deregulate hemp?
Law enforcement, the Department of Justice. You know, we have a serious drug problem in America, especially in Kentucky. Drug problem is pain pills, heroin, meth. Industrial hemp is not a drug. And I think we've proven that. And that was part of what I tried to do when I filed the bill. I went on a six-month tour of the state trying to educate people, having town hall meetings to talk about it. I did a million interviews about it. And we took baby steps. So let us have a pilot project, and you can look. And it doesn't look like marijuana. And people aren't going to be breaking into the Murray State University farm to steal hemp to try to smoke, you know, and all the stuff that a lot of people in law enforcement, at the higher levels in law enforcement, now they've seen that. And I think it'll be much easier to do the final bill now in Washington and try to deregulate it. One of the things that my bill will do is reclassify hemp from a controlled substance to an agriculture crop. And when you do that, that gets the Department of Justice off the farm. You hear a lot of people say, we need to get the EPA off the farm. Well, we need to get the Department of Justice off the farm. DOJ has plenty they need to deal with to combat drugs, and worrying about confiscating my hemp seeds like they did that year, that's not something they need to worry about. So hopefully this bill will do that, and Senator McConnell supports the gist of the language, Senator Paul does, Congressman Yarmouth, the lone Democrat in the Kentucky delegation. I'm going to have a very prominent Democrat co-sponsor on the legislation, so hopefully we'll get it passed.
2017 looks to be a very busy year. You've campaigned on several issues that will likely get significant attention, particularly cutting spending for Planned Parenthood. What are you optimistic about getting accomplished this year? Aside from hemp, what are some things you'd like to see Congress put a focus on?
We're focused on reducing the regulatory burden. When I was campaigning for Congress, I would ask job creators and business owners, what's the biggest problem in Washington? And the majority of them would say the regulatory burden. Either some federal bureaucracy coming in, mandating you regulations, more fees, more fines, just on their backs. And what we focused on in the first few weeks of Congress is trying to reduce the regulatory burden. I've said this on the campaign trail, and I will say it again publicly. I believe that Congress lost a lot of control to unelected bureaucrats and regulators. We want to take that control back and get the bureaucrats and the bureaucracies and the regulators off the backs of the small businesses to where the private sector can grow and create jobs. And just initially passing the bills in the House of Representatives, having President Trump sign the executive orders, you're seeing more confidence and you're seeing the stock market go up. You're seeing people make investments again. We got a good jobs report last week. I believe that just changing the tone in Washington with respect to the business climate is going to help create jobs.
That's all of my questions. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Murray State is the one regional university in my 35-county congressional district. I'm real proud of Murray State, tremendous school. Murray State continues to get the best students across Kentucky to come here, and I look forward to working with Murray State for the next 2 years.
Congressman Comer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.